Already this year, we've done two or three shows in which the lack of access to mental health care has been the topic. Both Republican State Senator Kathy Bernier and Democratic State Senator Patty Schachner came up with proposals designed to deal with the problem, but neither were enacted in the fall session of the legislature. The two senators are now backing the same bill, and we'll talk about that, lots of others that passed, were defeated, and weren't acted on, and how all those affect Western Wisconsin. It's our legislative update today on the West Side. And good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and joining us today, our state senator, Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls. She's a Republican representing the 23rd Senate District. She was elected last fall after serving four terms in the Assembly. Her district includes Chippewa County, most of Clark County, northeastern Dunn County, eastern Eau Claire County, southwestern Marathon County, and northwestern Wood County. Senator Bernier, good to have you.
My pleasure to be here.
And State Senator Patty Schachner of Somerset is here as well. She's a Democrat representing the 10th Senate District, elected in January of last year in a special election. Her district includes most of St. Croix and Polk counties, southwestern Burnett County, parts of western Dunn County, and a sliver of northern Pierce County. Senator Schachner, good to have you along.
Thank you, Dean. Great to be here.
And as always, we encourage you to call with your questions, comments, and stories. Maybe you have some legislation you'd like to propose. 800-228-5615 is the way to do that. That's 800-228-5615. We'll try to remind you of that as we go along. So before we dive into legislation, you're both serving your first terms as state senators. Kathy Bernier, you're wrapping up your first year as a senator after 8 years in the Assembly. How is being a senator different than being an Assembly representative?
Well, people ask me that, and I said, well, they call me senator instead of representative now, so much of it is the same. This is my first term with a Democrat governor. And, of course, legislation is moving slower, which may be an advantage to our citizens out there in the state of Wisconsin, which may not be a bad thing some people's view. But it is slower, a tad bit more frustrating. But I don't know if it's because I'm in the Senate or just because we have split government. Yeah. And so you have to really, really work at trying to persuade more so than in the past.
Now, you have three times as many constituents as you had as an Assembly representative. How does that affect what your day-to-day looks like?
Well, it's helpful that I have a staff person who is located in my district. So if I can't make something, he goes, which is wonderful. So that's helpful. But the travel time is significantly more. So when I went ahead over to Marshfield area, did a day in a life with a resident over in Colby at an assisted living facility. And so it's a lot more driving, a lot more distance, but just as satisfying.
Patty Schachner, you were elected nearly 2 years ago in a special election. Now that you have a few sessions under your belt, what jumps out as you as something that's key about serving in the state Senate?
I think the key to success being in the Senate, especially coming from the not the majority party, is really working with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, collectively working on ideas and looking for the greater good versus just having your name on things. You know, the mental health issues really have been something that I've been working on my whole life, and then as a medical examiner. So I feel like I know a lot about this topic, and finding, you know, the Senate, there's a lot of diversity in there as far as professionals. You know, you have everything from small business owners to law enforcement to teachers to legislators that have been there.
Don't forget the lawyers.
Lawyers. And,
one or two of those.
Yep, to people that have been there for, you know, a long time. So learning how to develop those relationships is critical if you want to be successful in getting your issues to the forward.
One thing the two of you have in common is that you are two of only 8 female state senators out of a body of 33. Patty Schachner, does that pose any special challenges?
For me, it does not. I mean, there are topics that are gender specific, which it can be a little frustrating. But I have primarily worked most of my career in men were in leadership. So I have figured out a long time ago how to be successful in a male dominated space. And I'm able to bring in a different lens to that space and be able to work together.
So, Kathy Bernier, even though the Republican Party has the majority in the Senate, you're one of only two female Republican senators. Does your party have to do a better job recruiting women candidates?
Yeah, I think we do. And I know I kind of focus on that, too, because I am on the National Foundation for Women Legislators. And so I hold a spring symposium every year, a bipartisan organization. I now chair the women's suffrage push for the next year with the NFWL in partnership with the National Suffrage Organization, which is also bipartisan. So we focus on that all the time. But you can't force an individual to run for office. You just encourage.
We haven't got to that point
yet. Yeah, not yet.
We haven't run out of people who are willing to do it yet.
Yeah, but, yeah. I was not forced. we just need to, I guess, you know, the Dems have more pools of women to choose from, probably. Republicans need to focus on encouraging women to run, that, yes, you can. And I think sometimes we hold ourselves back more than we're held back by men.
And I think along with that, as we're moving into the 21st century, women are not afraid to fail anymore.
And yes.
We're willing to put our name up there, our face up there, and learn from the experience and take what from that experience what we can, mm-hmm. and then continue to grow. And I think it's really empowering for women just to step up to no matter what level, whether it's local, county, or state, and have the experience because it's wonderful.
There's a study, and I refer our listeners to, it's Why She Doesn't Run. UW Extension had that two-part study, and generally speaking, women are not very good at taking risk. They're not risk takers was one of the outcomes of that study, and they're adverse to risk or fear of risk. So I think you're right, Patty, that people do, women now are more adaptable and willing to take risks, but we could encourage them even more so.
Before we jump off this topic, you mentioned you're involved with a suffrage organization. When I think of suffrage, I think of the getting the movement to get women to vote, mm-hmm. 100 years ago.
Right.
What does suffrage mean now?
Well, suffrage, we have not given it a new definition. We just want to celebrate the women who participated in suffrage, the women who fought for our right to vote, which in turn was fighting for our right to run for office. And so we're going to celebrate with yellow roses. We are going to have marches in celebration of that 100th anniversary, and it seems like 100 years is not all that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting closer and closer for me, I know that. our topic today is our legislative update. We have two state senators from Western Wisconsin with us. Voice you just heard is Kathy Bernier, the Republican from Chippewa Falls, also Patty Schachner, the Democrat from Somerset. You're invited to join the conversation, 800-228-5615. And we'll get to callers in a few minutes. And we've got two on the line already, still have a line open. But we'll get to those, we promise. So let's shift our conversation now to policy issues. And as I mentioned in the introduction to this hour, the lack of mental health services in Western and Northern Wisconsin keeps popping up as a key issue. UW Board of Regents talked about it as it related to their students. It comes up in conversations around K-12 education, poverty, homelessness, all those programs we're doing. This lack of mental health services kind of keeps moving through as a continuing topic. Senator Bernier, you've authored a bill, it's Senate Bill 405, that would dedicate $15 million to adding psychiatric beds, specifically here in West Central Wisconsin. Can you talk about that bill and what's the problem you're trying to address with it?
Well, Dean, we have to go way back. As my colleague here had mentioned, that she's worked with mental health issues in her career, going to a suicide situation. I've also worked on mental health concerns with Department of Human Services directors and police officers for at least 6 or 8 years already. And we sat around and talked. And the concern we have is there is not enough beds for mental health crisis situations for law enforcement have somewhere to take other than Winnebago. Now, recently you may have read Winnebago is down 100 employees and they've been sued and they're overburdened. So my goal, I called 4 healthcare providers and I got one that was willing and able to partner. And I know it seemed like a last minute thing to those who have not worked on this issue, but it's not last minute. But it was a godsend that we have an organization right here in Eau Claire that was willing to add beds. But the cost of creating and building rooms and beds is very expensive. So the upfront cost was what we talked about. And I said, if we can get this in the budget, would you be willing to add beds? And so my process of persuasion began with colleagues, with joint finance, and the other house. So I brought in Jesse James because he was law enforcement, really understands the issue.
That's the assembly representative from Altoona.
Yeah, Representative Jesse James. And then he began the process in his house. And I was so disappointed because I thought it was a nonpartisan issue, a bipartisan issue, that it was vetoed. And it's not, I never said it was the solution. It is just going to help to take the pressure off of Winnebago and to get our citizens in Northwest Wisconsin some help with mental health care. And that is was my goal. It continues to be my goal. I'm working with the governor's office back and forth, trying to bring it forward again and continuing to work in my house with our leadership on the persuasion aspect of it.
Now, Senator Schachner, you also introduced a mental health access bill in September that when initially these came out, they seemed to be in competition with one another. Your focus is creating regional crisis stabilization facilities for adults in 5 regions throughout the state, staying away from what you called a brick-and-mortar approach at the time. Talk about your regional crisis stabilization facilities bill, which is still in consideration, but also the reason that you eventually signed on to Senator Bernier's bill as well.
So for me, the start of data collection, hands-on data collection, started as a medical examiner in St. Croix County. So during that time, I've been working with a lot of stakeholders in suicide prevention and awareness. And from 2013 to 2018, you know, thousands of people have died by suicide. And what has happened is policymakers, it's an uncomfortable topic. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's painful. There's nobody that's not burdened by suicide or doesn't mm-hmm. know someone who died by suicide. So taking on this topic, number one, it's uncomfortable. Number two, it's expensive. Number three, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. For me, the part of the issue with chaptering someone and having crisis beds is sometimes that's not necessarily where that person needs to be. They need to be at home, or not at home, but within the community that has access to resources so that they can be successful locally. One of the big problems with crisis beds is the fact that you go in, you're in crisis, and you're there for the 72 hours, you get out, and now you have to go back to Grantsburg or New Richmond or Hudson or, River Falls, and you might not have access, or because you're still ill, have the means or the will to do those appointments. So from my perspective, as a death investigator, what I saw was the primary issue was not addressing before and after care. So we need crisis beds, there's no question, but if we don't address the bigger picture, which is before and after care locally, this here problem is not going to be capped. So I signed on to Senator Bernier's bill because I think it's kind of a step-by-step conversation. Mm-hmm. And if we're not going to address before and after care, then we're going to need more crisis beds, because the one thing we're not answering is how many of these people are repeat people. And if we're taking the same person back to crisis mm-hmm. over and over and over again, it's kind of, it just does not make good financial sense. It doesn't make good legislative sense. So I think we have to look at a well-rounded approach. So I support that the senator's bill.
The one that creates the Northern Regional Crisis Center in the Chippewa Valley. Are you concerned, Senator Shogner, at all that the beds in this bill are specifically Eau Claire and Chippewa counties? Neither of those counties are in your district. Is that a problem for you?
It is a problem for people in the further part of our states, because traveling from the upper part of Burnett County to Eau Claire is just as big of obstacles traveling from Burnett County to Winnebago. Those are obstacles. And that's why it's like it's important to have these beds, but local crisis centers also have to be.
So you're saying it's part of the solution, but not the full solution.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Bernier, your bill is similar, in fact, essentially the same as the provision that Joint Finance brought in its biennial budget that Governor Evers, as you mentioned, vetoed. He vetoed that aspect of the budget that would have created the Northern Regional Crisis Center in the Chippewa Valley. You didn't get a vote in the fall session. Can you get the support to pass this as a standalone idea in the spring?
I think so. I have been working with the governor's office. They recently sent a counter proposal to HSHS. We are so confident that the only facility that's able to expand with those sorts of beds. And I want to point out that, well, one of the governor's proposal was that they could only use the beds for Chapter 51 crisis. And half of all of the people that are brought in on mental health crisis, Chapter 51, more than half, they have been persuaded to be there voluntarily and get treatment. So if we only used it for Chapter 51s, they would be dissuaded from pursuing voluntary commitment. Mm-hmm. And voluntary commitment is crisis diversion and prevention. And many of the people who go to HSHS for help are there voluntarily, which prevents crisis. So we're working toward the same goal, both Senator Shogner and the governor's office. But if we don't allow voluntary commitment, saying, okay, I recognize I have a problem and I want treatment, that undermines our whole goal of getting them into a good mental state. So I recognize that we need to have diversion and that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is talking to 22 to 29 Department of Human Services directors and all of the individuals involved in mental health, and what we're doing, you know, some things really stick to you when something is said to you. And one thing you said to me, Senator Shogner, before the meeting in Chippewa County, was that this solution is a 20th century solution for a 21st century problem. And reading Insane Consequences by DJ Jaff, he's saying that our 21st century solutions are not working, that his sister-in-law is from Wisconsin. She went out to the East Coast. She had bipolar disorder. He was frustrated. And many of our problems with mental health, our homelessness, all of the things that we're dealing with, that the people with mental health are wandering the streets, they're being victimized, or they are victimizing others, is because we're not dealing with this issue properly. And we need to go back, believe it or not, to some of the ways, not all. We have medications now that we didn't have in the past. This is near and dear to my heart because I have a grandmother that suffered with mental health and a great grandmother. And so I know that we can do better. And assuming we can medicate people out of their issues or completely persuade them to take their medications is not entirely feasible. So our mental health care through hospitalization is a big part of the picture. And this is just an opportunity to help with that.
That's State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls also with us this morning. State Senator Patty Schachner of Somerset. And those are our guests as we have our legislative update today. Whatever topics you'd like to talk about, we've spent a lot of time on mental health. If you would like to address that, you can. But you can talk about any issue that you would like the legislators to talk about, maybe something you'd like them to act on. Share your ideas with us at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the West Side of the Ideas Network. We're back with State Senators Patty Schachner of Somerset, the Democrat, and Republican State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls. It's our legislative update. We've been inviting phone calls, and our phone lines are full, so let's go to them. Let's start with Shelley in Polk County. Shelley, thank you for your patience, and welcome to the West Side.
Well, thank you, Dean. Thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to both you, Senator Bernier and Schachner. I live in northern Polk County, and we are dealing with a large factory corporation of pig farms coming into our area, or proposing to come into our area, with more than 26,000 pigs. And Burnett County, we're all working really hard to try and get some changes into how they're handling this situation. Hundreds of us, are, including me, went to hearings this fall to put on by DATCAP, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, to register our concerns. We're especially concerned that there are no regulations on air pollution. In fact, the American Public Health Association just called for a nationwide moratorium on these factories, in part because of air pollution, many other reasons. But the Wisconsin citizens are trying to get a statewide moratorium going on these CAFOs. DATCAP staff tried to write new rules based on the science that they found that would require these giant factories to be up to a half mile from homes and businesses and schools. And then Governor Evers killed the rule in November. Now they can keep all these pigs in a barn only 200 feet from our neighbors. So we know that Representative Gay Magnifique is all for these big factories. She's been at many meetings in Osceola.
She's the Republican state representative from that area, yeah.
Yes, and she, and in these meetings, she's with the pro-pig factory advocates. So we haven't heard from you, Senator Schachner. And are you going to get the governor to bring back this rule? Do you support a statewide moratorium? What are you doing about this? All of us up here in this part of the country are extremely scared of what's going on about not only air, but about our water quality, about the possibility of our property values yep. plummeting. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on in our local government.
Well, here's the
putting in.
Here's an opportunity to hear from Senator Schachner. Go ahead, Senator Schachner. She addressed that to you.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in first. Water quality and air quality, of course, is a big I'm very concerned about that. When it comes to the governor pushing back or slowing this conversation, you know, we're going back to the drawing board. I think we need all stakeholders at the table to have an informed conversation. You know, for myself, I live in St. Croix County where we did have a huge spill and it did contaminate water. So this is very, very important to me. And water quality, we all need it. So we have to have a conversation. We have to figure out how legislators and local governments can come together to have a solution that is compromise-based. It is not okay to have contaminated water. It ties right back. Water and air quality and environmental issues tie right back to our basic health and well-being.
Senator Bernier, your district is quite rural and quite agricultural. Are you concerned about what seems to be the growth of these concentrated animal feeding operations, the CAFOs?
Yes. Nutrient management is extraordinarily important. And we have a nutrient management plan now, so our listeners to make sure that they understand that we do and that we control, DADCAP controls how and when the manure is spread and how, you know, the concentration and density and all of that. EPA air and water quality standards are also in effect. So I didn't see the recommendations that came out of DADCAP. I knew they had public hearings, but I'm not sure. It was kind of stopped before we even got a briefing on all of what they found out and the testimony. I did attend one of those meetings in Eau Claire at the Chippewa Valley Technical College and sat and listened to some testimony on it. But that was... it didn't give any kind of results. It just gave people opportunity to come in and talk.
I think also it's very complicated when you talk about family farms that are growing to meet the needs of their family and in herd size, whatever, versus farms that come into your community for the explicit reason to have a large feedlot operation. Our local farmers work really hard. They are stewards of the land. And I just met with Jeff Lake out in Boysville, and he does phenomenal work in cover crop and really taking care of the land. And I think that we have to figure out how we are going to work together to make sure that we maintain our water quality, maintain our air quality. But I think... agriculture as a whole, our local farmers are doing really good work.
From a practical standpoint, though, how do you differentiate regulation between a family farm that's grown to deal with the what apparently is the model that's now, let's say dairy in particular, hog could be another example is what Shelley brought up. But, you know, I grew up on a dairy farm. It was a 40-cow farm. It was a fairly large farm at the time. That's nothing now. I mean, you've got to have hundreds of cattle in order to make a go of it. How do you differentiate regulation between a family farm that may have been on the premises for 100 years versus somebody who comes in from the outside to start an operation like that? Is it really possible to differentiate, and should we?
Well, I think the family farm, you know, they're following the rules consistently because they are members of the community. And they've, you know, they're doing permitting. They're getting everything done the way that it's supposed to be. I was raised on a dairy farm myself. I mean, I milked cows. We had liquid manure. We were stewards of the land.
Yeah.
And that. So there is a difference between animals where there's 1,000 versus 2,000 versus 25,000. The pool is bigger, so to speak, in each one.
And so you're not looking for different regulation. It's just a matter of making sure that it's
consistent,
enforced.
Consistent and enforced.
Correct. The economy is a scale. So if you have a 40-cow herd, you probably had, you know, 40 to 80 acres that supported that.
Yeah, more like 200, 250.
Oh, you might have. Okay.
Yeah.
So what has happened with these smaller farms that have given up the business,
right,
and then the other farms grow, But they also utilize that acreage.
Renting the land.
The land. And then that's where nutrient management comes in and crop rotation and all those sorts of things. That still has to be practiced, whether at a small level or a large level. And that is the goal, I am sure, of DADCAP, to make sure that there's a balance there.
We're talking to State Senator Patty Schachner and Kathy Bernier, and just a legislative update. We're taking your calls as well. We've got another call, this one from Catherine in Menominee. Catherine, thanks for joining the West Side.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I respect both the senators very much, and I'm very admiring of the work that they're doing. I would like to know, and this is directed to both of them, what your plans are to deal with Wisconsin's redistricting problem. There are voters, taxpayers, who see the millions of dollars that are spent litigating the 2011 flawed redistricting as a waste of taxpayer money. Will you both or either commit yourselves to consider and debate some of the measures that have been proposed to balance the redistricting process? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Actually,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. And let me move to another caller before we send that to your answer, because I believe he's on for the same reason. This is Bruce in Eau Claire. Bruce, talk to us about what you'd like to tell the senators.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Senator Bernier, I understand you chair the Senate Elections Committee, where you've had a bill before you that would establish nonpartisan panel to handle legislative redistricting, basically ending gerrymandering. I'm wondering, will you bring that bill up for a hearing in 2020?
I have had in the Assembly a couple of hearings on that, an informational hearing. One of the LTSB, Legislative Technology Bureau in Madison, wrote a paper on the subject. I have had extensive discussion about that. One of our frustrations that we have or it is just the way the game works. I don't know how to say it, but you know, leadership has the authority to bring forward proposals one way or the other, whether they get docketed for the floor. I tend to work on things that I know that I can get done. As a matter of fact, when asked to run for Congress, just looking the way Congress is broken now, I would never consider it. It's frustrating enough to get things done at the state level than it is the federal. So I want to work on things that I can accomplish. I assure you what I would do. I can tell you what I would do. I would say, okay, redistricting by constitution is left to the legislature. So even if you have a committee, the bottom line, the legislature can thumbs up or thumbs down a redistricting map one way or the other. But I would say that I've been looking to the courts or the federal level to say the redistricting was intended for one person, one vote. The demographic census information can be utilized. No other database could or should be utilized for that process. That, to me, would be an answer to the problem. But I, like I said, I've had hearings about it. I have so many important things that I'm working on right now that I'm struggling to get through. And I don't want to bang my head against a brick wall.
Senator Schachner, one of the things that's interesting about this question, especially having you in here, is that the district you represent was supposedly drawn up to be a Republican district, and indeed we have the three assembly representatives within your district are all Republicans. Your predecessor was a Republican, yet you as a Democrat managed to get elected. So is there really a problem?
Well, mine was a special election, so I think that was probably part of it. I believe in fair maps. I just do. I think that when when you take the overall numbers and it doesn't match up with the, how the legislation looks, there's an issue, or the legislature looks that there's an issue. I myself believe more in like the Iowa model. I like that. It's just, you know, bipartisan. There's, you know, not all elected officials on it. I think that it makes sense. But it's a conversation that's being had at every table. It'll be had over the Christmas holiday. It was had over Thanksgiving. People are talking about it. They want something different. It takes courage for legislators to bring up these topics and figure out how to make these changes. But people want change. What it looks like, I'm not sure, but I think we have to listen to the electors and at least think about what we want to do differently.
We're talking to State Senator Patty Shockner. That's the voice you just heard. She's from Somerset. She's a Democrat. Republican State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls is here as well. It's our legislative update. Lines are clear now, 800-228-5615. If you'd like to jump in with your question, comment, thought, proposed legislation, whatever it might be, 800-228-5615. This is The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach on the Ideas Network. We are back with State Senator Patty Shockner and State Senator Kathy Bernier for the next 15 minutes or so. Senator Shockner, some of your fellow Democrats have complained that the fall session was too short, that a lot of important legislation was not considered. What's your assessment of the fall session?
Well, I would have liked to seen more. I don't have a lot to gauge it on as far as experience. I was, you know, started in January of 2018, and then this here year, I had an anticipation that there was going to be more bills on the table. So for me personally, it was a bit disappointing. I think as electors, that's the way we get to see how our elected officials feel. And I think it takes courage to bring up even controversial bills up to the Senate floor, and let's have a vote. But the fact that they, you know, 9 days on the floor, I think is somewhat disappointing. I'm a doer, and I was elected to go down and vote on policy and that. So to not have more days of actual policy voting was it's a little disappointing for me.
So your response is a little less stark than that of the Assembly Democratic Leader Gordon Hintz, who said Republicans wanted to meet as few days as possible to avoid being held accountable for their failure to lead on issues that matter most to the people of Wisconsin. Senator Bernier, your party controls both houses of the legislature. How do you respond to that criticism that important legislation is left on the table?
It's politics, Dean. The fact of the matter is it's the same type of thing that we see at the federal level. The fact that it took forever to get the USMCA passed, they don't want to give the president a win. I'm sure, it's the same thing at the state level. The discussions about what we pass, how we pass it, going into an election year and all of that sort of thing. It's politics, Dean. You know, our founding fathers made our political system messy deliberately. And when you have split government, it's even messier and slower. Like I said, some electors probably appreciate that. The slower, the better. And those of us who are trying to get a bill through, whether Democrat or Republican, are also a little frustrated. And so, the years of experience that I've had, I have had challenges myself, even with a Republican governor.
Well, let's talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, our tenure makes a difference, whether you can get a consensus in your caucus. And so what goes forward? That is the process. I guess I'm more accepting of that because I'm a political science major and not a medical examiner. And
you knew what you were getting into.
I knew what I was getting into. Yeah. I understand the politics, though I don't always agree with it. It's the way it is.
Well, let's shift on that a little bit, because among the issues Gordon Hintz complained that the Republicans were avoiding was the issue of medical marijuana. which he says is supported by 83% of Wisconsinites. Last week, you, Senator Bernier, you and your fellow Republican Assembly Representative Mary Felskowski of Irma introduced a bill to regulate the cultivation, processing, testing, and dispensing of medical marijuana. What moved you to push that bill forward?
I have been interested in this for a while, and I have two constituents that had cancer, and I had conversations with them on cannabinoids and how they react and are affected in the body, how CBD oil with THC was effective in their cancer therapy. I talked to an attorney who drafted the bill in Arizona and Nevada, and I also talked to our colleagues who were working on it. The Teston bill and the whoever partnered with that was a little too loose as far as regulating for the first time. So Representative Felskowski and I got together. She did the yeowoman's work, so I just want to give her full credit. And so we talked about how most doctors would consider it just another tool in the toolbox, mm-hmm. But a legal treatment. And I think it is a fair thing to allow for our individuals in our state of Wisconsin to have medical marijuana and the cannabinoids, I have a hard time saying that word, that may help them. Every medication doesn't react the same way in every human being, no matter what it is. And we just want to give this additional opportunity to doctors and patients.
Senator Schachner, have you had a chance to see Senator Bernier's bill yet? And if so, what do you think of it?
So, I've seen the bill, and I have always been a proponent of medical marijuana, primarily because my work is the medical examiner. I deal with terminal people all the time. And, you know, I had a constituent call me, and he's like, you know, I'm 76 years old, and I have my grandson go buy marijuana for me because I have pancreatic cancer, and I want to be present in my life right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think when we look at the treatments that are out there, medical marijuana is a reasonable choice for some people, just like opioids are a reasonable choice for some people. And it is what people want. I mean, medical marijuana is it's necessary if we are really going to offer people the choices out there. My husband was recently diagnosed with kidney cancer. My son last year was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. I lost relatives to cancer. This is a very personal topic for me. And I think that going through a terminal or going through treatment is hard enough. To have something that is grown just not even on the table doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But primarily, I think that the reason that we don't want to have the conversation about marijuana is because there are a lot of other things that go with it. And it ties directly into our prison population. There's equity issues. And it's like everything else. It's messy.
Well,
it's very messy.
Senator Bernier's bill, though, and she mentioned this herself, it's more restrictive than other marijuana bills that have been introduced and put forth by Democrats. Will you back Senator Bernier's bill, or will you hold out for something broader?
We always have to start somewhere. The first step is the hardest. I will not put my foot in the mud just to prove a point when we can take that first step together.
So, Senator Bernier, there's one party that at least one member of one party that's supportive, but in your own party, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald responded to the announcement of your bill, saying he personally opposes the bill and he doesn't believe there are the votes in the Republican caucus to pass it. Will you reach across the aisle to see if you can get enough Democrats on board to make this happen?
Absolutely, and I'm kind of counting on them. You know, a lot of things go on in the offices, but some things go on out in the parking lot by a car door. So I happened to run into Senator Fitzgerald on the way out, and I just wanted to point out to him that the reason why we redrafted a medical marijuana bill was knowing that we were going to have some difficulty in the Republican caucus. So we wanted to be a tad bit more restrictive. Ironically, so I talked to him about that, and I said, it's not the smoking, it's tinctures, oils, patches, whatever, to start with. And that was his concern, that it's only to start with. And I spoke with Speaker Voss at his Christmas party Saturday and talked with him about his concerns over the dispensaries. And one way or the other, this is how soup is made, you know, one ingredient at a time, I guess, is to try to get everyone to compromise as best we can. And that is what Representative Felskowski and I felt that we were doing, is we were bringing people to the middle. We understand that it may not be something that we can get through this term. There is next term to continue to work on it. And that's what I'm telling my staff right now, knowing that my bills are probably not going to get through this session. Draft them, get them ready to go, get people talking about them, and then we can go into the next session with a picture of what we want to work on.
Got about 3 minutes left, and I want to shift to a couple of other topics real quickly. Some of the bills, Senator Schachner, that didn't make it to the floor of the fall session related to managing chronic wasting disease among the state's deer population. You're sponsoring multiple bills on CWB. Briefly, can you tell us what you're hoping for there?
CWD, it's very important when we look at the overall tradition and culture of hunting in our state, and having a safe herd is the key. People aren't going to travel here to hunt if they know that the herd is unsafe. There are a lot of people that have a lot of different opinions on the topic of CWD, but when a DNR office says he won't feed the deer that he harvests unless it's tested to his children, I think that the science of it needs to be looked at, and we need to be really thoughtful about that topic. Because for a lot of people, that protein is the only protein in their diet. Mm-hmm. And if it turns out to be a public health issue 10 years from now, I don't want to be there, the one that didn't help.
There's another big topic in the news. This month, Chippewa County officials are complaining that the sand mining company Superior Silica Sands, which is in bankruptcy, is in violation of state and county laws because it didn't set aside enough money to restore a mine and hasn't installed groundwater monitoring wells as they were supposed to do. Senator Bernier, Chippewa County, obviously in your district, what are you hearing with officials there, and how are you interacting with them?
Well, ironically, I just went to a couple years ago where they reclaimed part of their mine, and it's beautiful, and with the grasses and that covered the hills, and it was great. So I had a conversation with Dan Masterpool, the land conservation director there, about that then, and since then things have changed as far as their bankruptcy is concerned, but they are supposed to have enough money, bonding and cash to reclaim that, which should be held by Chippewa County. And if it's not enough, I think that's a lesson for our county land conservation departments to reevaluate what that bond is or how much the bond is, and that sort of thing. So I have not had a recent conversation, but I'll be sure to call Dan and talk to him about
and
that.
And we'll certainly be doing some shows on frac sand mining in the new year. One big question as we wrap up, and I'll see if we can get some bipartisan coalition on this. A week from Monday night, Packers and Vikings play. Packers win. They are division champions. The Vikings have to win to have a chance at it. Packers or Vikings, Senator Bernier?
I am a longtime Packer fan, sitting on the floor with the one black and white TV, watching the Green Bay Packers with my dad and the family around, Bart Starr, the whole Fuzzy Thurston, all of that. So I go way back. So you would never, ever get me to tell you that the Vikings will win.
Senator Schachner, you're right on the border.
Packers only.
Well, that was concise. Thank you. Hey, great to have you with us today. Senator Patty Schachner of Somerset, Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So our on-air producer today was Catherine Thomas. Kate Springer helped with publicity. Next week, we go to a show that we had planned a couple of weeks ago, but was waylaid by our impeachment hearing coverage. So we'll try again next week with WPR reporter Rich Kramer talking about this month, his months-long research into the state of the gray wolf in Wisconsin. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. You're listening to The West Side.